I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop Eye Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Cop Eye Podcast. It is Mick and Christian. Once again, we're going to get a bit stuck into the USG game. We are going to be talking about Brighton. Should we talk about Spurs again? Should we drag that back up? Probably not. It might come up in general conversation because I'm sure we're all still pretty fuming about it. But before we get into it all, Christian, how are you doing, lad?
I'm good. Sunshine. It's a little bit colder now, obviously, proper autumn in Sweden, but I'm all good. Looking forward to the game on Sunday, tomorrow, obviously, and then looking forward to fly over in 2 weeks' time and for the derby to see you and obviously bring my brother this time. So, yeah, it's good. I look forward to that.
And buy me loads of pints because it's my birthday as well. I love the way you're just laughing and you're not replying to that one.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Of course you're going to have pints. You're going to have so many pints that you're not going to know your name, I guess.
I just wanted to get it as a recording, just so like whenever you come over and I go trying to get me a pint and you say no, I can just get up this show and go like you said you would there, lad, what you're talking about.
True.
Getting old, lad, getting old. Right, let's get stuck into it. I mean, I just said USG. I'm not going to try and pronounce the full name because I tried on the previous show and I've since known that I've butchered it, so I'm going to call them USG. And yeah, I mean, the lineup, let's talk about the lineup for that game, because it was quite strong. Obviously Kelleher, we knew before the game he was going to be injured. Adrian is included in the squad, I believe, so Alisson comes in, so as strong as it can be. Trent comes back and Konate alongside Kwanzaa, Tsimikas at left back, Gravenberch, Endo and Elliott as a midfield, and you got Salah, Nunes and Jota as a front three. But I was happy with that. I was happy to see Trent back in. Gravenberch, another opportunity. Endo, another opportunity. Kwanzaa, another opportunity. And I thought, like, just as a whole, before we get into the goals, I thought the game, it wasn't the best. Like, I feel like we kept giving them more. The longer the game went on, the more worried I was getting, to be honest, until Jota gets his obligatory late goal. But the lineup I was happy with, and certain players like performing well and doing well with the minutes that they're getting.
Yeah, I was happy as well. And obviously with Trent coming back from the injury, you know, playing a little bit last time and now getting his, matchup up and running again, his match time. So that was good, obviously. So, same with Kwanzaa, you know, he did really great. I think, you know, we have some player there who can actually come in and do a great job, and someone who will, whatever happens with Matip, you know, from this season going forward until next season, we know that he said that he wants to stay, you know, and probably end his career here. But, you know, whatever happens, we got someone that can actually replace his spot that is actually having quality and being very young and probably hopefully will get better. I think Tsimikas did a great job as well. You know, he had a rough time last time and got some stick on Twitter, you know, for not doing really great things. But, you know, I thought, you know, it's fair to say, to give him some credit for this game, I thought it was good. I like the midfield, obviously, Gravenberch. We want to see him play because he's young, he's talented, we're all excited, and I thought he was great as well. It's nice to see Endo and Elliott, because some people say, you know, Elliott hasn't been developing in the way we probably, you know, were expecting to, and I agree. But I just love the way he fights for the team and the job he puts in. So hopefully he just continues with that, and the development in other parts of the game, of his game, will come anyway. And the front three is obviously, you know, it's great. So I was really happy when that came out. I thought, you know, we're probably going to go and win this quite easily. I don't think it went that easily, but, you know, still a comfortable win, I would say, even though we gave them a few chances. But, you know, it's another 3 points in Europa League. And I think, you know, with the rotation and all that, I think it's just the perfect way of finish a game, the perfect way of rotation. And, you know, looking forward to the next game. In that way, we can do that.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because like it's mad when you think that Liverpool made so many changes again, and it's still, you look at the team and you go, yeah, that's very, it's very good. That's strong. Quality. Obviously, Gravenberch and Quansel are making, I believe that was Gravenberch's third start. I think it was Quansel's third start. So still very new. And in those games, like Quansel, like we just mentioned, I think it needs highlighting before we get into the stuff like just how good he looks. I mean, it is funny because it's one of those where you're like, it's almost as though Jürgen Klopp knows more than us, you know, like in terms of like buying a centre-back. We all want the centre-back, but of course we didn't know how good Jarel Kwanzaa is. And I know he's got a lot of quality. He's got a long way to go in terms of being, I'm sure, what he wants to be in terms of how good he can be. But playing alongside like the likes of Konate, playing alongside the Van Dijk, Matip, those players can only drive you on to be better. So I think, yeah, it needs highlighting just how impressive and how, like, just how he's took it in a stride, like his European debut at Anfield, and he just looked like he's part of the furniture. He looked like he'd been playing for ages, and I think that's one of the biggest compliments you can pay him, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we come back to this, you know, even I and you as well, you know, we were all sitting here saying we wanted a centre-back, you know, during the summer because we thought that we really needed one. And obviously, Klopp, you know, like you said, he knows there's a young lad in the squad who taking steps all the time that, you know, we can use him for now and we'll see how it goes because he got the quality, he will develop, we will use him and then we'll see if we need something in January or next summer or whatever. But of course, he can't go out and say to everyone, just calm down, we got someone in, you know, a young lad here who can play, because that puts just very unnecessary pressure on anyone. But to see that, you know, Klopp is right again and, you know, showed that he knows his stuff and, you know, what we got in terms of players. So I'm just very happy that we got this young kid who comes in very physical. You know, how old is he, like 20? And, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, young talents, you know, being like 16, 17, 18 nowadays, you know, super talented and stuff. But, you know, in terms of centre-backs, you've seen great centre-backs in the you know, obviously the history of the English game, you know, in recent years. But you look back on the big ones like Ferdinand, Terry, Sol Campbell, Ledley King, even though he was, you know, having all his injuries. They all come through, you know, really young, but they kind of established themselves in this kind of age, you know, from 20 and upwards, and became great. I don't say Kwanzaa will become, you know, great, because that would be unfair to put that pressure on him already now. But, you know, to show his talent and his qualities like he has now in these types of games, and showing that he's mature, he's very good with the ball, he's not taking any stupid decisions, he's just look very solid and good. Just give him that time, give him, you know, give him patience from us fans. Just let him keep on going and he can become really, really good for us. And where he goes is just up to him, I guess, you know. So I'm really pleased that we got someone from the academy that's showing, you know, all their qualities and actually take those steps, because we love when someone from, you know, our own grades comes up and actually taking a place and maybe can play for us many games in the future. So I was very pleased for him and I hope he continue to play and get those minutes in those kind of games.
I love the way, like, he's just like, he is a bit like no nonsense. Like if he senses danger and he just needs to kick it out, he will. But he can also mix it up and he can do those long diags that Verge does. And I mean, he's obviously not the same level as Van Dijk, but he's still, I guess, still trying to fine tune his game to kind of replicate what Van Dijk. But in terms of pace, like, they brought on a few fellas towards the end who were big and strong and very quick and fresh legs, and he was still out muscling, outpacing, keeping them out of the game, and just making those interceptions that look easy, I guess, when you see them on telly or you see them in the ground. But I feel like those little like nicks and little bits that he gets on the ball are so important in terms of keeping the ball away from our goal and limiting the amount of saves that Ali has to make. And I just thought we'd start the pod with that, because I thought he deserved it because how good he's been and how effortless it's been for him as well. But I mentioned another player there, Gravenberch, with his first three starts as well. And of course, he gets the he gets the goal for us just before half time and the first goal for us. I mean, Nunes should have scored. I think it's safe to say he should have absolutely scored. I think lovely little interplay. Salah plays it in and he's on the, what is he, 6 yard box out. And you could see all the players, like the hands went straight on their heads. They were like, oh, fucking hell. But he is, he's prone to those moments, unfortunately, but he also is prone to moments of magic. But yeah, Gravenberch gets the goal in his first three games for Liverpool, first three starts, I should say. So we've got an assist against Lask, an assist against Leicester, and now a goal against USG. So a good start for him, and another impressive performance, I thought, in terms of, I just love, like, I know, of course, people are making the comparisons with, like, Wijnaldum already and whatever, but, like, in terms of how he takes the ball and how he manipulates it, and if he lets it run past him, he takes a nice little touch, and he's just got that spatial awareness. And for a guy who's 6'3", he's very big. He's got that, like, he seems like he's got a low centre of gravity as well in terms of getting by people and his dribbling ability. And, of course, if he can have more goals, he had a few chances. I think he, second half, he nearly clips one in top corner. He has a shot where I think Nunes scores and it's offside. So he was very involved in the game. And then to get the goal, we were all very happy for him, weren't we, of course.
Yeah, and, you know, I just loved that he obviously started his game. We were expecting it. But then, you know, to have that impact on the game straight away. And like you said, he's a big lad, you know, but he looks very smooth the way he handles the ball. He strides with the ball, you know, makes the ball go forward, running with it. He's quite fast for being that tall as well. And, you know, got technique. And, you know, we could see his shooting skills as well when he, you know, challenged the goalkeeper with his shot from outside the box as well. You know, he's got the precision and the accuracy to actually, you know, make the goalkeeper work, because he almost put it perfectly in the corner. So he got all those qualities. And, you know, from midfield player being 21 and only cost us like £35 million or whatever it was, you know, everyone's saying it now, and I'm sure we would say it in times to come, but, you know, it will, you know, be a bargain for us when we look back on when we bought him from Bayern Munich and be like, how the hell can they just let go of someone like that in that age, being so talented? I know, you know, change of environment, change of players, change of manager or whatever can, you know, do great things with players, because, you know, they are people as well. They might just need to change where they are and get to somewhere else and everything will be fine. But it's just weird in one way, you know, in terms of, you know, being Bayern Munich and that kind of club and having, you know, a midfield with aging players, and have someone like Gravenberch on their hands and be like, yeah, we should just try to get him into the team and, you know, develop him. But anyway, you know, their loss is our gain or whatever you call it. So I'm really happy for him and that he scores, you know, and being involved again in the third game that he starts. It just shows that, you know, he's a midfielder that has an impact on games and actually getting involved. And I just love that we get points from a midfield, because we weren't too spoiled back in the you know, days, even if we were great with Henderson, Wijnaldum and Fabinho. They scored sometimes and provided assists, obviously. But, you know, I think the midfields that we see now, not just only the McAllister, Soboslai and Jones or whatever, whoever starts games, but, you know, even this midfield sort of sees creativity and great work and stuff. So, you know, I'm just very pleased that we got a player like him on our hands, you know, because I said that very early, you know, in the summer as well. I really loved it to have him because what I saw of him in Ajax. So for me personally, I'm very pleased that we got him that cheap and that he's showing his talents and can prove everyone wrong, you know, that has been doubting him.
Yeah, I think it's one of them. Like, even when you saw him at Ajax, you could see how silky he was, and I think he just made... I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing, like the old cliche goes, but you can only say it with when you've been at Bayern. You said, oh, it's not worked out, and now he's come to Liverpool and he's getting, I think he even said in his proper smiley, like, post-match interview, like, I think he's the fella said, the journalist said that what's changed since Bayern, he said, like, getting more minutes. And I think that's taking it down to a very basic level, but I'm sure he's much happier in and around this group of players who very close, very tight-knit. And you obviously, you only have to see, like, the backstage stuff, I guess, in inverted commas, like the inside Anfield and, like, around the games and the training, like, behind the scenes stuff, like how tight knit this group of players are. So it must be very easy just to kind of come in and show your quality, and then people respect you straight away. I think it's happened similarly to Soboslai as well, in terms of what he's just coming in and everyone just goes, right, this fella's boss, like, let's just give him all the ammunition to make him as good as he can be. So hopefully Gravenberch can, I mean, with the red card to Jones, it does open up a little bit of a door for him in terms of if he wants to come in and on that on that left hand side. I mean, we'll get into starting 11s for Brighton and stuff, and whether we think he will. But I think it's a bit of good news for him in a weird way that he can maybe come in and get a little bit more minutes on the field. But in terms of the game, and of course we get that goal on 44 minutes. So we go in 1-0. We had quite a few chances, I guess, first and second half. But like I said at the start of the show, like, the longer it goes on, they're just like, right, well, we might as well just keep pushing forward, keep powering forward, keep bringing on more and more strikers, just keep going for it. And fair play to them, they did. But we just looked, I mean, Klopp referenced it after the game, like, we just looked a bit. We weren't moving the ball quick enough. It was one of them where we were just knocking it around the back. It'd go left back, back to centre back, other centre back, right back, midfield, back to centre back. And it's like, well, you keep doing that, you're just inviting pressure. If they win it, they're going to nick it and try and counter at speed. And that's what they did it well. They did play well, to be fair to them, and the fans were great as well. But of course, Jota loves a late goal. Jota loves a goal, but he also loves like a stoppage time goal. And he loves every time he does a different celebration as well, which is funny. I think he's done like a bow and arrow this time. It's always like FIFA related, isn't it? Like FIFA celebration or playing on a PlayStation pad or, I don't know, EAFC badge or whatever he's doing. He's funny, but he always gets these goals, and I think you could see the relief. Like the camera pans straight to Klopp, and you could see the relief. He was just like, "Oh, thank fuck, we've got the goal, and we can calm down now." But a nice moment for Jota, of course, but nice for us to kind of think, right, game's over now.
Yeah, and it's a good goal as well. You know, he's quite strong in that situation to come, you know, to fight with that defender, you know, getting the best out of him, you know, coming out around him and then actually the finish. You know, we know that he can do that, but it's actually a very good goal and, you know, very strong of him to score from there, because it's not the easiest, you know, of angles. You got the defender, you got the goalkeeper, you know, that you need to be able to put the ball past and all that. So, all credit to him, and as always, when he, you know, plays or whatever, you know, he contributes, and, you know, even though he might not have had, you know, the best kind of game, he's still scoring the goal that, you know, sees us winning the game. So, you know, I love Jota. You know, I don't maybe agree that he should play all the time because of the quality that we got up front, but, you know, like we said so many times before, he knows where to put into areas to score. He's a clever player. So, you know, to just have him and to use him in those kind of games, and even as a substitute in Premier League games, or even as a starter sometimes, depending on our position and if we play home or away or whatever, because he always puts in a good shift as well. So, perfect. Not complaining.
Yeah, especially as well, because like I said, with Jones giving Gravenberch a bit of an opportunity, I think it's similar for Jota, because Gakpo is going to be out until hopefully Everton. So there's an opportunity there for him to kind of maybe have a stake a claim a little bit in those areas. So it's going to be interesting to see how he. I mean, he needs to come in and. I mean, we know he's scoring goals, but I think he needs to, I guess, be more impactful from the start. If he's going to start, I'd like him to be like involved in the game a little bit more. I think sometimes he can go. Not be involved a little bit, and I feel like that's something that I've said before, like, he's a rhythm player. I think that comes with like playing game after game, starting games. I think it's hard to get a rhythm when you're just coming off the bench all the time, so hopefully we can see him a little bit more and I'm sure we will, and hopefully loads of big goals coming up. But that was Liverpool winning 2-0, so win obviously top of the league in terms of only two games, like, but two wins out of two lose, beat LASK 1-0, so they're second on 4 points, USG are on 1 point, and you've got LASK at the bottom on 0 points. So perfect start for Liverpool. We didn't do it in the best way, but we got the result, which was the main thing going into, especially resting players like the likes of Nunes coming off at half time for Diaz, and then you had Salah coming off for Jones, Trent coming off as well, and then there's people who got just enough minutes to kind of keep them ticking over. But also, I mean, Klopp said after the game, like, he doesn't like taking people off that are important to us in a game that isn't completely won. But I think in a game like this, where you can go out, right, we can bring off him and bring him on, and it's still boss quality, and we can still win the game, which is, if you can do it and win, it's ideal. That's what we need to keep doing. But let's move on to Brighton then, because it is a tricky game for us. It always is. I don't really like playing Brighton, because obviously their manager's very good and very tactically aware, and they have a good setup against us. Of course, we haven't seen them against this like Liverpool 2.0 in terms of like Szoboszlai and all the new fellas and how good we've been doing this season. So I am interested to see how we approach that. But like in terms of like Brighton, like in terms of the league, let's have a quick look where they are in the league. So they're sixth in the league. So they've played 7-1-5, lost two. So they're on 15 points in six. So only a point behind us, which is, I mean, says a lot about how good they are as well, doesn't it? I know, like, so I think it was Kevin Prince Boateng's been popping up all over the place with like doing little clips of interviews with Rio Ferdinand and that. And he got asked like who's the best coach in the world, and he said De Zerbi's the best coach in the world in terms of tactically aware and how good he is. And I mean, you can only go from how good Brighton have been since he came in, especially after like Potter leaving and whatever. You thought maybe they'd go on a bit of a downward spiral, but he's coming in, he's done really well. And like to get 15 points out of the first seven is a great start for them, isn't it? And it's like I said, it's always a tricky game, especially away at their place.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. It's going to be a tough game. And I think, you know, the Serb has done a great, great job. And, you know, I probably would agree that he's the best man in the world, but he's definitely up, you know, in the bracket of being one of the best in terms of, like I said, what he's got on his hands. You know, even though it's quality players, it's not the same and the same type of money and, you know, opportunities like the big clubs has. So, you know, he's doing a great job, and I'm sure we'll see how good a job he will do this season with Brighton and what he can achieve, because I'm sure there will be, you know, bigger clubs out there just waiting to see if they can actually nick him from them, you know, and I'm sure that's going to happen. That's the way it goes. But, you know, Brighton away is a tough one. They have got quality. You know, we got the quality to obviously go and hurt them. And obviously they lost 6-1 against Aston Villa away. So there are ways of, you know, playing against them and scoring many goals, but you know, away it will be a difficult task for us. You know, I'm looking forward to it because it's a test, because they've been good, but at the same time, you know, as I'm excited, I'm also a bit nervous because we know that every point is so, you know, so important. You know, in playing this league against City, Arsenal, you know, and also the way we lost the points against Tottenham. Now we know, you know, we're thinking of what can that mean in the long term. Therefore, I want us to make sure that we go and put it right against Brighton. So it's a massive game to have so many things, but it will be difficult for us.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think, yeah, I just need a win in the league under my belt after that Spurs shit show. I could just, like, because yeah, it's one of them, because if we end up drawing or whatever, you'd be like, it's like, you then start reading into it a little bit more. It's like, oh, has that affected, like, I don't know. I'm probably talking shit in terms of, like, has it affected, like, the rhythm of our surge, like, how good we've been and stuff. And I'm sure it won't, but I just want us to like go in and just absolutely just blow them away, really. Like you said, you referenced them getting beat by a high scoreline, and I'm not expecting that by any means, but I just feel like if Liverpool turn on the style from minute go, hopefully we just it clicks and we get a couple of goals, because that's what we need at the minute, just to get us through the international break.
Yeah, that's the thing as well, because it's an international break coming up and the next game is the derby. You know, it's important to get 3 points ahead of that just to finish off before the international break in the best manner as well. But I think also we should be able to obviously use to see what Aston Villa did great against them. Even though Aston Villa played at home, I think, you know, there's situations to look into there and see what did they do that, you know, made them create chances and score that many goals. So try to see what they did. And I wouldn't say just copy, because we play our way, but, you know, to find ways there to see how we can hurt them.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just looking at the Spurs, our lineup for Spurs. So it was Alisson in goal. We had Gomez right back. We had Matip and Van Dijk centre half. Robbo left back. Midfield three of Jones, McAllister, and Szoboszlai, and then a forward three of Diaz, Gakpo, and Mo Salah. What are you thinking? And obviously Gakpo's out, so we know that's going to be a change. We know Jones is out for three games, so we know that's a change. We know Jota, unfortunately, is, I mean, I was saying I want him to get some rhythm, but he of course is also out. I actually forgot about that. He's out for this one with for one game. And then we've got Trent, who's come back from injury. So there's a few decisions to be made in terms of that. But what are you thinking?
Well, I'm just thinking, obviously, Gakpo's not available, so Nunez in, and we got the front three ready. You know, Diaz, Nunez, Salah, and with Konate and Trent coming back as well, I think, you know, they go in. So we got, you know, Robertson, Virgil van Dijk, Konate and Trent as a defensive four. And in terms of midfield with no Jones, I wouldn't mind to see Gavin Birch play next to McAllister and Szoboszlai, because he's got the height, he's got the physicality, he's good with the ball. You know, to have someone like that, and with Szoboszlai next to him, obviously going more forward, and McAllister probably sitting a little bit back as a number six, I think it kind of just excites me, because I know they are great footballers, great with the ball. You know, they can score from outside. They are big guys who wins, you know, second balls, you know, in that part of the field as well, you know, in terms of headers or with being big in their body, just to, you know, hold off opposition players and all that. So even though, you know, obviously Jones is not available, but, you know, because he's been playing well, starting, you know, good in pressure and all that kind of stuff, you know, when put pressure in oppositions, I think that midfield just, I don't know, it gives me some kind of excitement just being fucking, they are great players. So that would be my midfield, and obviously the front three and defensive four that I said, and that would be a great, great team, to be honest.
Yeah, it's difficult, I think, because I think there's that, or you go Endo in, you put McAllister in the Jones position, and then you keep Szoboszlai over there. I think that's they're the two decisions that Klopp's got to make. But I think it would be nice for Klopp to give Gravenberch, maybe, like, you played well in the last game, you deserve to start. Like he always does. If someone plays well, they always, more often than not, play the next game, because it's like, well, you've got credit in the bank now, because you performed really well last game. So, yeah, and I think that position, though, what Jones kind of takes up, he does get forward and pressure and whatever, but he is sitting back mostly in terms of, like, not venturing too far forward. He drops into, like, maybe as an additional six or an additional centre midfielder going more central. So I think that might suit Gravenberch as well, in terms of, I mean, it's just whether Klopp thinks Gravenberch is, I guess, far enough along in his understanding of how to press in certain moments. Because, like I said, when you come up against Brighton and De Zerbi, they've got their tactical awareness is so good. I mean, even I think Guardiola said, like, in terms of how they get out of the press is, like, one of the best in the world, and you've only got to watch them to see how good they are in terms of, like, just pass past the keeper, 1-2 touch, and then triangles and loads of options around them. So it's just how, if Klopp thinks that Gravenberch is ready to basically run his ass off and do what Jones does every game for us now, where he runs himself not into the ground, but he runs his ass off every game, closing everything down, putting his foot in, making tackles, getting on the ball retention. But I feel like it would be a nice little signal from Klopp that's like, yeah, he's done well last game, lad, go and do it again in this one.
Yeah, I think, you know, he deserves to, you know, play, but I understand, you know, away against Brighton, maybe a little bit being more sure. But to be honest, like, and I don't want to take, you know, being disrespectful or blame Endo in any way, but I think, you know, he's been struggling a bit. Obviously, he's older, even though he played in the Bundesliga and all that kind of stuff. I think it takes him a little bit more time to come into, you know, the pace and the speed of the game. I think he's been doing better and better. So, you know, it's not that he's been bad. I just think, I just see that, you know, like you said as well, if McAllister sits as a six and you've got Gravenberch and Dominic Szoboszlai in front of you, you know, being able to run a lot and bringing the ball forward and being very, you know, gifted in that kind of way as a player, I think that's something that will be a big threat for Brighton. But also at the same time, I think, you know, if they change positions or whatever happens in a situation or in the game, Gravenberch can come down and take that number six position for McAllister if he stays up. You know, they are all And we know that Dominic can do that as well, even though we prefer him higher up the pitch. But I just think they can all actually run around and change positions, because it doesn't mean that, oh, we need, like, for example, when we had Fabinho, we wanted him to be in that number six position because that's where he was at his best, and we needed that because we shouldn't have him further up the pitch. But these three can do the job for each other on all kind of different positions, even though we don't want it to just be, you know, a show where they just run around doing different things all the time. But I think if needed, you know, McAllister comes down playing his little number six role, you know, trying to dictate the game. Then we got Gravenberch. If he needs to come down further because McAllister's been up, you've got someone that is tall, you know, strong, good on the ball. He can come down and cover that position. So I think they can, you know, being great with each other and doing the kind of job together. And that's what I'm very excited to see. That's why I want them to start. But you know, if it works, it's another, obviously, question. And if there's any troubles or problems, obviously, we can always put Endo in and get McAllister or further up the pitch and stuff. So we got the opportunities and the options. But I think that three of a midfield with Gravenberch, McAllister, sort of slash, feels like something that can really harm Brighton, to be honest.
Yeah, I would love to see it. I think on paper, it looks very good. I feel like there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of quality in there. And interchangeable, and that's like a big thing for Klopp. It needs to be players that can basically fill the gaps if someone goes there, that they know the position. And I think that's what we're kind of alluding to in terms of if he thinks Gravenberch has got that fully in his head, like in terms of, because it's quite complex in terms of how Liverpool are doing it with the new system, whether he's ready. And if, and I'm sure we'll see. And if he starts, then yeah, I can't wait to see how he does and how he, yeah, more games with this Liverpool side. And it might be like a bit of a, I mean, we didn't want Jones. I wanted the appeal to be successful, but it might be a little bit of a blessing in disguise for Ryan Gravenberch that he can maybe come in and play a few games, and that can push his career a bit further along in terms of in a positive way than maybe it would have if Jones was still available. So yeah, we'll see. But I think it's going to be it's primed for a very interesting game. I think a 2 o'clock kickoff on a Sunday is a bit of a mad one, like, to be fair, but. I think it's Brighton are very good. Liverpool are doing very well. Of course, they're taking the last game result out of it. Liverpool have been insanely good, so I think they'll be very worried, and they'll be want to be. The thing is, like, they'll be so worried that they'll want to be on top form, and I think that's like whenever Liverpool come to town for these type of teams, that always it's always an extra 5 or 10% in terms of energy and running everywhere. Like, there's always players that do well, like Solly March, that just always like turns up and just turns into an absolute turns a mark over Mars against us, just pulling out an old 90s name there for you against us. But yeah, it's primed for a good game, and I can't wait for it. But we've come to the question that we all love, and I did ask Paul to send me over the prediction league, and he's probably still in bed or whatever. I mean, sorry Paul, you're probably not in bed, you're probably like running or round somewhere doing a 5K or whatever. But he didn't send me it. And obviously we jumped straight on, so we didn't have a chance to look. But I know you're doing very well in the league because you keep picking 3-1 every week. I'm trying to mix it up and say 2-0 and whatever. But I am going to go 2-0. I'm going to go for a fancier. I mean, I say a fancier clean sheet for Liverpool. I don't really. I'm just, maybe that's just me. That's just me heart ruling my head there a little bit. But like we said, if the likes of Trent come back in Canate and players like that, it shores us up a little bit in terms of defensively, I think, because we saw how good Canate was in the USG game. He didn't even mention Canate. He was just absolutely everywhere. He was an absolute beast. I feel like that those players coming in can only make us just loads more better because they know the system so well. But yeah, I think 2-0. I think you said, did you say 3-1 again, did you? He's going to keep saying 3-1 all season.
Yeah, you know, I had a bit of a, you know, choose between 2-1 or 3-1 because I think Brighton away will be difficult. I think they will score a goal because they are good at home. And, you know, we need to be out of the block straight away, you know, and 100% into it. And I'm not confident that we will be because we've seen it so many times.
No.
So I'm thinking, I hope we don't get 1-0 down straight away, or, you know, we actually don't score or concede the first. That's the thing. But, you know, I don't see us actually, you know, winning that comfortably, even if I say 3-1, it will be a tough one, but I think they would score a goal at least. So that's why I'm going with that. But, you know, 2-1 would have been nice as well, but I just, that's my way of protecting myself of being fucking nervous. so 3-1 for me.
I mean, if we can win 2-0 and get 2 2-0s in a row, that would be absolutely lovely going into an international break. And then, of course, come back and then you'll be over and we'll be watching us hopefully absolutely obliterate Everton into absolute smithereens.
I've seen the predictions here from loads of, you know, people in the group.
You read them out loud because I'm on my phone, so you read them out if you want.
Yeah, the ones that I got. Yeah. Should I just don't mention names or?
No, mention the names. Yeah. No, right. Just don't tell the addresses or like postcodes or whatever.
The bank details.
Sends a tenner there, lad.
Now you got Mick, obviously 2-0 Liverpool. I got 3-1, like I said. Dog got 2-0 Liverpool. Chippy 2-0 Liverpool. Matthew 2-1 Liverpool. Glenn 2-1 Liverpool. Ty 2-1. Freddie 3-1. Aiden 3-1. Paul D 2-1. Jonas 2-2. Peter 3-1. Farsi 2-0 Liverpool. Yeah, Jamie 2-1. So there's loads of 2-1s in there. Brian 2-1. Gary, 3-0 Liverpool, nice. Harry 2-2, and James 3-2 Liverpool. So there's loads of 2-1 actually. So
there's loads of 3-1s as well, though, aren't they? I think everyone's just like, I think Aiden said 3-1. I was like, don't copy Christian. Like, he's gonna be wrong at some point.
But there's a few that hasn't, you know, yet given the score prediction. So we'll see. But you know, everyone except for I can't find it now. Or what's it called? Oh, whatever. But yeah, everyone actually backing Liverpool to go and win. But there's someone who's going with a draw, like 2 or 3. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it is a tricky game, and I mean, I wouldn't, because Liverpool are doing really well, I wouldn't take a draw because we need to win it, especially after the Spurs game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can understand, I guess, why people would go for a score draw, because there's bound to be goals in this one. And it, like I said, if you do want to join that group with all the lovely people in there, just let us know. We can add you to it.
Yeah, what? Sorry. We
news just in?
Yeah, we got news. Rasmus going 4-1 to the Reds.
Yeah, get him, lad. Yes, love a bit of that. Love a 4-1.
Yeah.
Absolutely love a 4-1.
Breaking news.
Just love the way you gasped as though, like, oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah, if you do want to join the group, let us know. Just let us know on on Instagram or Twitter at Copite Podcast. Just let us know if you want to join.
The WhatsApp group is actually, you know, I feel sometimes I don't have all the time to reply to all the good things that's going on in the conversation, because, you know, you got your own stuff going on and that's for everyone. But it's nice conversations in there with, you know, photos of pints or drinks, and there's, you know, laughs and jokes, and obviously it's serious stuff about the Reds. So if you want to join, just let us know and jump in and, you know, get into the action, because it is good fun. It's like having a big group of friends, but you got it, you know, on your phone and just talking shit. That's actually very, very good.
Well, there's been a lot of good stuff this season, because obviously Liverpool have been very good. So it's been all positive stuff, which is, of course, always nice. But if you want to join, let us know. So that'll be it for today's show. We've done a bit longer than I actually thought we would in terms of USG results. I thought that would be like 10 minutes done, but there was a load of, obviously, Gravenberch, Kwanzaa. Didn't even mention, we could have went even longer with Konate in terms of how he played, but let's hope Liverpool can, build on the USG result, kind of forget about, obviously, the Spurs stuff, because it's been, of course, like Klopp spoke about it, mentioned the word replay, everyone shit the pants, and it's been over Twitter for days, people just going, oh, should we replay this game, shall we? Oh, should we replay this game? Should we go back to 1962?
There's so many narrow-minded people out there, you know, and to be honest, I start to feel, you know, a little bit worried about humanity, because people, you know, seems to be stupid, to be honest. I know that it's easy to just look at their, you know, headline, say, you know, oh, Klopp demands a replay, and everyone's just like, ah. But, you know, if you actually read into what he said or actually listen to what he said, you know, there's loads of things taken out of the, you know, the context there. So I'll be like, never said that. I'll be like, I understand him. I get the same kind of feeling, even though I do understand, you know, there won't be a replay, but I can understand where he comes from and all that because of what happened. But people just like, obviously, to have clicks or just to, you know, shout out things that are just stupid. So, nice. You know, there's no point. There's no point.
There's really not. I just want to get this game. Hopefully we win it, and then just like forget about Spurs now. Like just
that's the thing.
he'll forever be annoying, but you just need to get like have a couple of games and get it out of your system and then crack on, really, don't you?
Yeah, because that's the thing. If we would end up losing against Brighton, everyone will come back talking about Spurs games, how important that would have been to have that result because we lost this one. So I'm with you. Just go and win this one and we can just leave the shit behind us and, you know, move forward because we know what it's going to be like. So, yeah.
It's one of them. Just win, Reds. Just win by any means necessary. Just like 1-0, whatever you want to do it. Just please do it. But yeah, hopefully Liverpool can do it. We'll be back soon to hopefully discuss the great win. And yeah, we'll see what happens with City and Arsenal. There's a few big games this weekend that will shape up the Premier League at the top of the table. So it's going to be interesting. Hopefully Liverpool can go and do it. We can get ourselves onto, I think we'll be on 19 points if we win, which would be lovely after 8 games. So yeah, let's hope Liverpool can do it. We'll be back soon. As always, thanks for the support. Really appreciate it. As always, thanks to Christian for jumping on. And yeah, we'll see you all very soon. Nice one.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Kopi Podcast.
Podcast Network.